Hey, how we doing? Welcome back to the Spark Show DFS podcast. I'm your host, Mark Sparky Lee, and today we're going to be talking a little bit more about the Players Championship. I released a podcast yesterday about DraftKings, FanDuel, daily fantasy sports stuff. Today we're going to be talking a little bit more about lines and betting, different strategies and whatnot, but if you want to look at my articles, find my podcast, you can find it at sparkshowdfs.wordpress.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at sparkshowdfs. Before I get into discussing betting strategies, I wanted to talk about a few things that I kind of either glossed over or missed yesterday. I did say that it was going to be in March, so it's going to be a little bit colder this year. And I guess the guys are saying that the ball really isn't traveling quite as far this year. So we talked about any style of player can really win here. You just got to get to the green and avoid blow-ups. But I think if the ball isn't traveling very far, then the Bombers might have a slight edge this year compared to years past, and there also might be some rain too, so that's something to look into, kind of AM, PM waves you could stack. But I think most of the colder weather and rain is going to be on the weekend, so that'll be for more betting purposes. And another thing that I heard this morning when I was listening to the Golf Degenerates, I listen to those guys, probably Tour Junkies, Pat Mayo. I read pretty much everything I can get my hands on, and just to get any kind of stats, any tidbits that I've missed, kind of help me out with my making my picks and whatnot. But on the Golf Degenerates podcast, I think it was Kenny saying something about, and I think Pat Mayo, he glossed over this too, but just you can leave money on the table this week for daily fantasy sports. You know, you get $50,000, but with all the talent and depth that's in this field, you can leave $500, you can leave $1,000, you could even leave $5,000 on the table just to build a really unique lineup. So if your core hits, then you know you're facing way less competition that has the same players that you have. So in a field like this, leaving money on the table is probably a good idea for larger pools and whatnot. And I think they said something about just the high percentage of talented guys end up missing the cut here anyways. So, you know, you don't need the top dollar guys, and it'll help to kind of balance it out and have a unique lineup. So that's pretty much it from the DFS standpoint. Now we're going to get into placing bets. Different lines. I use Bovada. That's the only one I use. So lines might be, you can find different numbers out there, but just to let you know where I'm sitting at, I use Bovada and picking winners right now. I've heard a lot of buzz on Tiger and on Jason Day, and I'm sure that's just because their numbers are a little bit more of a discount because they're coming off those injuries. If you want to go down that road, go for it. But I just feel like there's too big of a chance that one of them, I don't like them in daily fantasy sports lineups, and I don't mind them if you're just going to pick the winner, but I could see them, somebody tweaking something and then pulling out or just missing the cut. So I'm not going to touch those two, but if you want to, I don't blame you, because that 40-1 for Jason Day to win looks pretty intriguing. Like I said on the last podcast, I went with Ryan Palmer at 175-1 because I'm an idiot and I like losing money. And then I went with Dustin Johnson as well at 12-1 because I'm an idiot and I like losing money. But Xander's another guy I have up there. Justin Rose, Leishman, 50-1. There's a decent amount of guys I could like here, but again, with this course, it's moved to a different part of the season. There's too many different variables and too many good guys end up missing the cut here that I don't feel too strong placing bets on winners. So I might just stick with Dustin Johnson and Ryan Palmer for now. But if you want my exact numbers and what my model projects, you can look at my articles, and then that'll give you guys their odds and then the percentage that I think that bet's going to hit or that I project that bet to hit. Same kind of thing goes with top fives, top tens, top 20s. This week, I don't see a whole lot of value in those plays. I never really see a lot of value in top 20s unless you're going to put, like, for instance, this week, I think Cantlay's plus 160 to top 20. You want to put 10 bucks, you want to put 100 bucks, whatever your bankroll is on that. I think that's a decent payout, but I mean, everybody I have is projected lower to make the top 10 and top 20 than what their odds give them. So I'm not crazy about those bets. And I think I had the top 10. Usually on my article, my favorite picks for the top 10 will probably be 10 or 15 guys. I have like one or two guys that would ever pop up positive odds. Tony Finau, plus 450 for the top 10. I like that. And then you got Ryan Palmer. He's plus 1,100. I'm not crazy about it. Leishman, 450. Woodland, 475. And Taylor Gooch, plus 1,400. Those are decent. But again, I'm staying away from top 10s, top 20s. I think the real value this week is going to be betting on first-round leaders. That's zooming in on me. I don't want to zoom in. Like Dustin Johnson goes from 12 to 1 to, I want to say, 20 to 1 from winner, outright winner to first-round leader. So I could see doing that. No, he's 22 to 1. I think I said 20 to 1. Rory, 20 to 1. Justin Rose. I actually went Dustin Johnson, Rory, Rose, and Justin Thomas, all first-round leaders, and they're all between 20 to 1 and 28 to 1. And then I took a couple deeper guys, I believe, but I'll get into that later. I just think this year, the crazy thing is when I'm looking at the stats for 2014, the first round leader was Martin Kaymer. He went on to win. 2015, Ricky was two strokes back after the first round. He won. 2016, Jason Day, first round leader, he won. 2017, Siwoo Kim was two back in the first round, and then he won. And then finally last year, we have Webb Simpson, who was the first-round leader, and then he ended up winning. So just in the last 5 years, the guys that went on to win this event were either the first-round leader or within two strokes. So I think that's going to be my strategy when I'm betting the live winners after first round, after the second round. I'm going to take guys that are either up near the lead, you know, within a stroke or two, or actually have the lead. But I think the good thing about the first round leader bets here is last year we had six guys tie after the first round. There was six other guys that were a stroke back, and there was 14 guys that were two strokes back. So that's 26 guys at the end of the first round that were within two strokes of the lead. And you look at the previous years before that, and it wasn't anywhere close to that. So I think the lines are a little bit more generous this year because they're thinking a lot of guys are going to be finishing up at the top. But in this colder weather, I see somebody getting to 7 under, maybe 8 under, taking a lot of risks with the driver, and I see maybe 10 guys, 12 guys that are within two strokes of the lead. So I think that's going to change from last year to this year. And last year we had 23 guys finish the tournament at 10 under or better. The year before we had one guy, and that was the winner, Siwoo. I think it's going to look more like that this year. We might have five or six guys in double digits under par at the end of this. But it's not going to be anything like it was last year. I think there's going to be more drivers this year because the rough is down. Ball's not traveling as far. People are going to be taking risks. And that's going to cause, you know, some blow-up scores and then some guys to just kind of scratch and claw their way up the leaderboard away from everybody else. So I think first-round leaders and live winners is going to be good. And like I said, within you're going to want live winners. I mean, you can go any which way you want with this, whatever your gut's telling you. Or if you're reading something that's telling you the stats are pointing this way, go ahead and do what you want. But based off of the first round leaders and the guys within two strokes ending up winning this tournament, I think after the first round, after the second round, I'm going to take guys in that range. And this is kind of the strategy I went with at Honda, the Honda Classic 2 weeks ago. There was, I think it was no first round leaders ended up winning, but the winner was never more than like three strokes back in the last 5 years at that event, at that course. So my strategy going in betting live winners there was, don't bet the guy that's leading, but bet a guy that's within two or three strokes that looks like he could make some moves. And after 2 days, it was Friday night, I picked Wyndham Clark, who was 125-1 to win. And then from Friday night, he moved from that line to Saturday, early Saturday. He went to 2-1 to win at one point. He didn't end up winning, obviously, so it didn't pan out. But the whole idea is to use this strategy to kind of find value and find guys that, you know, they play that weekend 125 times. I could almost guarantee you Wyndham Clark is winning that more than once. He's winning it maybe five, maybe even upwards of 10 times, if maybe not that high. But the point is you got to find value using strategy like that. And then Arnold Palmer Invitational the next week, I kind of saw a similar trend where it was another course, hard to keep a lead. The only time anybody leading one of the first three rounds went on to win it was Jason Day in 2016 when he led every single round. Other than that, no leader of a round went on to win. So my strategy betting that was, okay, maybe pick some guys that are within striking distance of, you know, three or four strokes per round left in the tournament that could make a run. And I did look at Rory, I looked at Fleetwood, I looked at Molinari. I wasn't crazy about their numbers, but I looked at those as three guys that could pop off and climb back into it, because you saw Molinari do it last round. He went 8 under to win. The year before, Rory went 13 under on the weekend, I believe, to win it. And then Fleetwood, I think, jumped up ahead, and he was the leader after the third round. So all those were decent picks, but what I went to was Sungjae Im. He was 50-1, and Sung Kang, he was 125-1, and then I think I had Patrick Rogers, who kind of fell off, and can't remember. I might have had one or two other guys that I picked after two rounds that were in a prime spot. And then Sungjae Im, Sung Kang were both in a spot on the final day where they could make a run at that leaderboard at the top. Sung Kang, I don't know if you saw him, I can't remember what hole it was, but he chipped over the green into the bunker, and then he chipped back and almost backstop off of somebody's ball, and then he kind of fell off. But the point is I had those two guys in the right spot, and they had the value that was above what their number was going into that for the rest of the weekend. So I've been trying to tweet out some of this stuff. And feel free to tweet at me, like, hey, what are you seeing, any good numbers, any good guys to pick here on the live leaderboard? and I'll try and get back to you. But this weekend, St. Patrick's Day, I'll probably be in downtown Detroit. Maybe go to a Red Wings game. So I'll probably be busy, won't be watching as much golf, but still tweet at me, and I'll try and get back to as many people as I can and point out any numbers or any guys that I like. Let's see, some head-to-head matchups. I wasn't too crazy about some of these, especially because the volatility at this course is going to kind of buck some guys that you're not expecting. But the first one that I saw that I ran through the model and I really liked. But Sergio, for whatever reason, Sergio's not great on my model, but he's been playing great lately. So I don't 100% trust this, but Cantlay versus Sergio, they're both head-to-head for the tournament, minus 115. I've got Patrick Cantlay at a much better projection, much better percent chance of winning this one, and his cut percentage is way better. So that was one tournament head-to-head I did. Cameron Smith was another one that I liked, but he did, like I said, my article in the last podcast was he's missed two cuts here in a row. His only two cuts here, he missed his last cut the only time he played in Florida this season. So I didn't touch that one. It was Cameron Smith minus 110 against Siwoo Kim minus 120. Siwoo Kim won here before, but I think he's a little overvalued. Next one is Rafa Cabrera-Bello minus 125 against Matthew Fitzpatrick minus 105. Rafa just had a terrific tournament last week, and I see him continuing that. Fitzpatrick played well too, so I wasn't crazy about that one either, but this is the one that I took and parlayed with Cantlay, was Ian Poulter minus 115 against Henrik Stenson minus 115. Poulter's got a way better chance of making the cut here. His course history's great. Stenson did look really good those, you know, outside of that first round last week at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. But, I mean, that could just be a pop and flash in the pan, and then he just disappears again. So I really like Poulter in that spot. Those are it for the tournament head-to-heads. And, again, if you want to see all my exact numbers and look through everything extensively, then you can go to my projection article. And that's got a lot of numbers, so anybody that's really big into numbers can go there and look at that stuff. Now they posted the first round three balls. Biggest one that I like right now is we got Kevin Tway plus 150 against Brian Harman plus 150, Grayson Murray plus 250. I got Kevin Tway at a way higher percentage to win this one. His weighted average of first-round scoring lately, first-round scoring over the long haul, and first-round scoring at this course is close to is a stroke and a half better than Harman and 2.5 strokes better than Grayson Murray. So I love that play. This is the first time I'm looking at the three balls. I entered it in late, right before I started doing this, so I'm going through this at the same time. It's new to me right now, so it's kind of just walking through it. I don't like guys that are close to even, unless it's, you know, an obvious pick where this guy is definitely going to win. So Abraham Answer plus 125 against Ali and Seamus Power. His first round scoring has been good. Rafa against Sung Kang. Rafa's plus 120. Sung Kang, and then there's Tyler Duncan in that matchup too. These guys are all 20% or more above the odds that I have them winning in this matchup. So it's all kind of confusing. If I had the picture of some of these spreadsheets, it'd probably be a little bit easier. But most of this stuff I put in my articles, so if you're a visual person, That'd probably be a better spot to look at some of this. I think that's just about it. I don't want to drag this one out as long as I did yesterday. But yeah, that should be it. And again, if you want to find my articles, podcast, sparkshowdfs.wordpress.com, and Twitter is a good place to find me and, you know, give me some feedback, communicate with me, ask me any questions. My handle is @sparkshow@dfs.com. Yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening again. I'm going to try and do these for all the majors this year. And keep them in the fairway.